I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. The date is Sunday, November... What is it? November 29th?
It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's all I can remember. Everybody's had too much turkey to remember what date it is.
Yeah, the tryptophan has kicked in. Jared, what did you do for Thanksgiving?
So I flew down to Virginia to see my in-laws, including one that I named a coffee shop afterwards. So they were very happy with that. And it was nice. Listen, we went out to eat for Thanksgiving, which is something that like my traditionalist, that's a word, traditionalist heart did not enjoy, not gonna lie. But her parents have been wanting to go out to eat for Thanksgiving for years. And since we've been together, Ashley and I, we've eaten at their house, have had people over. So this year they won, went out to a restaurant. And at least the restaurant had a Thanksgiving meal, you know, so that was really nice.
What was the cuisine?
Well, it was turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes. It was traditional, which was very nice because originally the idea was to go to a steakhouse, which, of course, I wouldn't have said anything because it's my in-laws and I have to keep my mouth shut. But little Jared would have been very sad if he went to a steakhouse on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever gone out to dinner on Thanksgiving. I'm surprised that they're, well, I'm not surprised, I guess, but you know, I feel like Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where most things shut down. So I'm sure you're probably hard pressed to find an open restaurant on Thanksgiving night, right?
Oh yeah. Well, the problem is as well, someone like myself who's worked in the restaurant industry for the majority of his life, anytime we were open for a holiday, anybody who came in, I was like, screw these people. Go home. Go eat at home. This is where that's where you should be. So now I am one of those people coming in on a holiday and being like, hello, reservation, seven people. I'm here.
You just, as long as you tip a little extra and you're extra grateful and all that kind of stuff, I think it's totally okay. As a, you know, I used to work in the hotel industry back when I was in college and stuff. And I actually preferred working holidays because people were more generous. You know, if you work in a tipping business, people are bound to tip more, a little more on the holidays. You get paid time and a half.
Oh, you make money.
It was nice. It was nice to make a little bit of money and all that kind of stuff. I've always done, and I think this is a bit of a tradition throughout America, more on Christmas time, though. Like Christmas dinner, you get Chinese food. Have you ever done that before?
Yes.
Why is that? What a random thing.
It's super random. It's Christmas Eve.
Right. Christmas Eve.
You're supposed to get... you know, Chinese food. It's like Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I don't know why or how that became a tradition. The only thing I can think of is if you've ever seen the movie A Christmas Story, which is Christmas classic. It plays literally 24 hours straight from Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. That's how popular it is. In that movie, the Christmas dinner gets ruined because the next door neighbor's dogs break into the house and destroy all the food on the table. So then they go out to a Chinese restaurant because it's the only place open on Christmas. I have no idea if the two are correlated, but that's all I know from it.
So everyone always talks about favorite Christmas movies. And since you're such a movie guy, do you have a favorite Thanksgiving movie?
I don't know if it's a Thanksgiving movie, but the movie that I like to watch on Thanksgiving to kick off the holiday season is Home Alone. For some reason, I think of Home Alone more as a Thanksgiving Day movie rather than a Christmas movie.
Interesting.
I think it's just my childhood. I think it's when we started watching it, but there's nothing that gives my little Christmas heart more joy than watching Home Alone on Thanksgiving night. And it really just like kicks off the Christmas season in the greatest way possible.
I would agree. I would say Christmas season doesn't start until the day after Thanksgiving. Maybe even some would argue December 1st, give yourself some time to adjust. But Kaylin actually just put up our Christmas tree yesterday, and I kind of had to fight her on a little bit. I was like, do you think it's a little too soon to be putting up this Christmas tree? And she was like, I don't care what you think. I'm putting it up. I can't wait till it's up. She's already decorated it and everything. So I guess, you know, people love celebrating Christmas a little earlier.
Dude, I'm 100% with Kaylin on this one. Come on. It's literally a month and a half. First of all, if you don't start celebrating till after the first, it's 25 days and then it's over. So why not just put it up? What I think should happen is I think that Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas should all be one holiday. And it's just the whole holiday season. right from Halloween, you go right into Christmas, and it's 2 months worth of holidays.
Could you imagine if there weren't these holidays during this time of year? The sun is just up for like 6 hours a day. There's nothing to look forward to other than the day is getting longer again. So like, thank goodness there's Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Halloween, all these holidays that are to be celebrated this time of year, because otherwise December, November, January, it's pretty like think about it. When January 1 comes, the next holiday you can celebrate is like Thanksgiving, I guess. And then after that, you've got MLK Day and then Easter. I don't know.
You have Easter. I mean, then they have like, listen, I'm not going to call them dumb holidays because they're not dumb holidays, but I don't know. Actually, I lied. Valentine's Day, I think, is a dumb holiday.
That's the one. I agree.
Stupid. I don't get it. I don't care if I get heat for it. Ashley hates the fact that I don't like Valentine's Day. Just not a big... Because first of all, it comes right after Christmas. And then Ashley's birthday is March 6th. So it's like, how many gifts do I have to buy this human being? I love her to death. She's my wife. But I got to get her gifts for Christmas. Then I got to get her gifts for Valentine's Day. Then I got to get her gifts for her birthday. And we're barely into March at this point. I mean, spread it out a little bit. So Valentine's Day, not a big fan.
Yeah, well, at least you can just kind of like bang them all out and you don't have to worry about getting gifts throughout the entire year. You know, just 3 months, like you said, we're in, we're out, bada bing, bada boom, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but the problem is over with. My dumb guy brain just forgets about things. So like I put so much effort into Christmas that by the time Valentine's Day rolls around, I'm like just coming out of the Christmas coma. And it's like, I just got you a gift. Now I got to get you something else. So I always get flowers. And then her birthday comes up and I'm like, oh, that's right. I got to get you something else because it's your birthday. So anyway.
I've kind of adopted the idea of not giving material gifts anymore. Like maybe if you like make something, I guess that's fine. But like and this is like a new concept that I'm just like starting to try out this year, specifically for Christmas with my family, where I'm just going to be giving like experiential gifts. Hugs are fine. More like experiential things. Like, you know, my family's coming out to us in Vegas this year. So I'm going to like get us all tickets to a Broncos game or go and see a Cirque du Soleil show or The Matrix comes out. We're going to go see The Matrix. Definitely.
Are you a big Matrix fan?
Yeah. My brothers are huge, huge Matrix fans. And I like the movie series quite a bit. So
I have to talk to your brother. Matrix Resurrections. I'm counting down the days. We don't have to talk about The Matrix because we're a dating podcast and no one gives a shit about it.
Well, you know, Trinity and Neo, and we could talk about that a little bit.
It's a love story right there.
Yeah. So that's you know, if you're looking for some gift-giving advice, maybe take that into consideration too. Instead of getting like a material thing, get more of like a, you know, I don't know, some sort of nice little romantic experiential gesture. By the way, you didn't ask, but my Thanksgiving was really good.
First of all, I was waiting till you were done, and then I was about to ask saying, hey, how was your Thanksgiving? What did you do?
No, let's talk about yours a little bit more.
No, screw that. I'm tired. What did you do?
No, ours was fine. We just we went to Kaylin's grandparents' house. We were a little worried because, you know, as we talked about last week a little bit, I wasn't feeling super, super good at Ben's wedding. I had the flu, and Kaylin started getting a little sick too. And we like didn't want to go to Kaylin's grandparents' house if either of us were feeling ill at all. But I'm fully recovered, and Kaylin woke up the day before Thanksgiving feeling 100%. But yeah, so we went to Kaylin's grandparents' house, and her uncle came over with his new wife, and just played some board games, you know, just kind of like the more traditional Thanksgiving experience rather than going out to dinner, which I don't hate the going out to dinner thing, I gotta say. Like, you know, you don't have to clean up after yourself. No one has to worry about bringing dishes and like cooking and all that kind of stuff. So I see the appeal, but it sounds like you're never going to want to do it again. Is that right?
Yeah. No, I like it. I like being home. It's where I want to be. And that's the bottom line, as they say. We do have some hot topics. I guess we should start talking about dating at some point besides our own lives.
Before we get to the hot topics, though, because I'm looking at the same rundown as you.
Yep.
And the hot topics are great. I feel like a lot has happened within the Bachelor world this past week that we can't not talk about those things. You know, despite the fact that we tried not to be a Bachelor podcast, the fact remains that we were two guys
from the Bachelor franchise, both of which you're dating someone who you met on Bachelor in Paradise. I'm married and expecting a kid with someone I met on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, let's be honest, we're a little bit of a Bachelor podcast.
So we got to talk about it a little bit. And yeah, I think there's a lot of like bad news that came out recently within the Bachelor franchise. Dating all the way back, let's start like Dale and Claire broke up. bad news. But then we see that Katie and Blake broke up. And then, not long after, we see that Tayshia and Zach broke up. So that's the last three bachelorettes in a row that have just broken up with their final selection.
Who was the bachelorette before the Tayshia and Claire season? Who the hell was that? That wasn't Hannah, was it?
I think it was.
Oh my God, now I'm losing my mind. Now I have to figure that out. Because now I'm curious, who's the last person to be, who's the last bachelorette to be with the person they picked? Because remember, for a while there, bachelorette was kicking bachelor's ass in terms of couples that have lasted.
Right. I think the last one was Rachel, was my bachelorette, was
Rachel and Brian,
who's now obviously married to Brian. I think she's the last successful bachelorette because it went Rachel.
Hold on, I got to look this up.
Becca. Rachel, Becca, Hannah, Claire, Tayshia, Katie. Yeah, that's right. So the last four in a row. And now we've got Michelle's season airing, and obviously we don't know who she chooses yet, but she's got a lot of pressure on her shoulders, I feel like, to make it work. I don't know. Have you followed the breakup saga with any of these couples in the past couple like weeks or days?
Yeah, I mean, I've caught up a little bit. The Tayshia and Zach one is obviously the saddest, in my opinion, because one, I really like Tayshia. She is a sweetheart, and Zach seemed like, he probably is still, obviously, a super down-to-earth, easygoing guy. It just didn't work out between the two of them, which really sucks because I like them together. Like, for example, Tayshia FaceTimed Ashley and was crying when we announced we were having a kid, and it was the sweetest moment ever. So I was like, oh, I really wish that Tayshia and Zach were going to work out. Now, all right, hold on. So who did you say? So who was the bachelorette before? Katie, Tayshia, Claire. Anna. It was Anna. Holy crap. Why does that feel like 7 years ago?
Oh, and Becca, which I guess I didn't even count into that too. That's five in a row then. Becca, Hannah, Tayshia, Claire, Katie. All five of those bachelorettes broke up with their final selection.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. The last one was Rachel. Because there was a hot streak going. Caitlin with Sean, and then JoJo up with Jordan, Rachel right with Brian. I know, but then obviously Sean and Caitlin broke up.
So that doesn't count for the hot streak.
No, it doesn't. It was a hot streak. No more hot streak. It ended. And then who? Desiree's still with her guy. Man, so it was Andy Dorfman picked Josh Murray. That's crazy to me. It's so weird thinking about that now. Desiree picked Chris. I remember that because I've become friends with Brooks. Brooks was on that season, and he left. Long story. And then the season before that, Emily Maynard picked Jeff Holm. That's insanity. And then now we're going way back. Wow, dude, yeah, Bachelorette. What's going on? Why are all these couples breaking up? Are we just not – we don't believe in love anymore?
I think it's just a whole show thing because even the Bachelors haven't really been – Matt and Rachel, I think, are still together, but like –
not engaged.
Besides them, who are not engaged. There's also been a pretty sour streak for the Bachelors too. So I feel like something's going on. Something's in the water, maybe, that they're feeding their contestants.
Matt and Rachel together. All right. So hopefully they work out. We'll see. They're just dating, boyfriend girlfriend. So I don't know how serious it is. Peter obviously did not work out. Colton, we all know what happened there. Ari picked Becca, but obviously made the switch and went with Lauren. Are we counting that?
That counts.
I count that too. Nick, obviously we all know what happened with that. Ben, we all know, just coming from his wedding. Chris, obviously did not work with Whitney. Wow. So Sean and Catherine. So the last guy, because listen, if we're saying like Ari didn't pick, like he switched, then the last guy to be still with the woman he picked was Sean and Catherine from 2013. Holy crap.
I was, I think I was still in middle school in 2013.
What? Gosh, shut up. No, you weren't. You're almost as old as me. So I want to go through Bachelor in Paradise couples now, because I really think BIP, that's where it's at. That's like the saving grace for the couples of the franchise, I think.
Let's exclude this most recent season. It's too recent to include them in the list.
Yeah. Should we take a quick break and then come back with the Bachelor in Paradise couples? Because we're already pretty good. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and remind everybody of who's still together from Bachelor in Paradise, because Bachelorette and Bachelor are kind of sucking right now, and they need to step up their game.
But rather than just reminding everyone of the couples, I want to see if you got any like juicy inside scoop. So stick around through the break, and we'll see what Jared and his wife have been talking about over there in Rhode Island. So be right back. All right, Jared, we're back. So tell us, so you're about to get into the Bachelor in Paradise couples from, let's go like six and earlier, because like I said, seven is just a little too recent to, I think, group them into the conversation.
All right, so we're not counting this season. So Kenny and Maury, Riley and Marissa, and Joe and Serena don't count. Okay, I'm good with that. So cool. We have Dylan and Hannah, who are still engaged. Do you know if they're planning, aren't you friends with Dylan? Are they like planning a wedding?
I think so. I'm friends with Dylan. He's a bit of an anomaly. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, he's a weird guy. I like him a lot, though.
Oh, he's a nice guy. But yeah, I'm sure they're planning something.
Astrid and Kevin, who are engaged but just had a kid, so I'm assuming they're planning to still get married.
Oh yeah.
Congratulations to Kevin and Astrid, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Number six on this list, Dean Unglert and Kaylin Miller Keys. Look at that young Dylan. Look at that young Dean face right there.
Oh yeah, that's baby Dean. Why did you go Hannah, Dylan, Astrid, Kevin, and then me and Kaylin? You went season six to season five.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just on, what article am I on? Pure Wow. The 15. So they're just going through Bachelor in Paradise couples who are still together. I don't think there's really any rhyme or reason as to why you guys are before or after them.
Cool. I thought you were the one choosing the order, so that makes sense. Thanks.
You know what's cool? It says, you know, it gives, like, the next couple is you and Kaylin, obviously. And it gives a status on everybody. For example, it says engaged for Dylan and Hannah, engaged for Kevin and Astrid. Status, married, ?
Nice.
So even this Pure Wow doesn't know if you guys are actually married or not.
We love to keep it a mystery, baby.
It says Dean low-key confirmed that he's a married man during a promo for the Lovebirds movie. That was a fun time.
Oh, yeah. You were there with me. They told me to say something about my wife or that I was married. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll say it. Why not?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Cool. Let's do it. Adam and Raven, obviously just married. Adam, Raven is pregnant. So they're doing very well, it seems, which is exciting to hear. The next couple on this list, Jared and Ashley.
Oh, you guys, that's you.
That's it. Look at me. That's
how are they doing?
They're doing all right. That was a picture of me with my shirt off in Bachelor in Paradise season two when I had abs. Those were good days.
Oh, my gosh. It's funny. Jason Tardik posted a throwback photo of like him and me and a couple other guys in Vegas like a couple years ago and just saying like how he wished he could be at Ben's wedding, but he couldn't. And we were all shirtless, and I was like, I literally had a six pack, and that concept just seems so foreign to me right now. Hmm. Ugh.
Yeah, man, it sucks. Like, just pour one out for the homies, all six of them.
All six of them.
Jaden Tanner, married, no inside scoop there. They're doing very well, very happy. Three kids, beautiful kids. Emmy is just, I love Emmy so much. I love Brooks and Reed too, obviously, but we have a very close connection with Emmy. She's the best. Evan and Carly, that's an interesting one because I think that they're not together still. Like, I knew that they were trying to work things out, and I don't know where the relationship stands now. I gotta be honest. I think that they're not together still, and because didn't they announce they were filing? Yeah, in December 2020, the couple announced that they're calling it quits. So I don't think I think they're still not together.
I mean, listen, if I was Carly, I wouldn't want to be with Evan either. So I totally get where she's coming from.
That's right. I forgot about you guys had that feud.
Well, a very imaginary feud. I'm just kidding. Evan seems like a nice guy. I just got to keep the feud alive. So, Evan, you're definitely not listening to this. If you are listening to this, DM Evan and tell him I was talking a lot of crap about him on the Help I Suck at Dating podcast.
I know. Is that it for the couples that are together? Because now all the rest of the couples are ones that got together but are no longer together. Like, for example, the next couple is Chris and Crystal. Which is really sad because I think that's the only divorce in Bachelor Nation as of right now, because I don't think Evan and Carly are officially divorced yet. I don't know yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're, well, I guess maybe just Bachelor in Paradise is more recent than, I guess that's not entirely true.
I don't know, man, because like Tayshia, Katie, Claire, Who else? Like, I'm just naming Peter. I'm just naming leads that have been on the show since both of us have been in relationships.
I misspoke. I didn't mean what I said. I think you just have more time to spend with another person on Bachelor in Paradise. So you kind of know what you're getting yourself into a little bit better than you do on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. But I guess I got some questions for you about the breakups specifically. So as we talked about a little bit, Tayshia and Zach broke up. Katie and Blake broke up. What do you think lays ahead for all four of those individuals? Like, I could see Tayshia dating, I don't know, Chris Pratt or something like that. Like some
Chris
movie star.
Pratt. Isn't Chris Pratt married to Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter?
A Chris Pratt type. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, I got it. What about Chris Evans? I think Chris Evans is single.
Sure. I could
Captain
see
America.
That. Yeah. Like an A-list, like a B-list, bordering A-list celebrity I could see Tayshia dating. Zach, I don't know anything about Zach, so I'm going to leave that out. He seems like a nice guy. I could see him, I guess, dating like some sort of like an inspirational speaker, maybe, just judging by what I know about him.
Yeah, that seems nice. I like that. That seems like a good life. I know it's always like sad to like, it's always sad to talk about future relationships after someone just gets out of a relationship. But, you know, we host a podcast and we're trying to create content. So we're going to do it anyway. I think here's what I'm putting out in the universe right now. I love Chris Evans because he's a Boston guy. He's Captain America. He seems super. He loves Tom Brady. He was doing an interview about how nervous he was to meet Tom Brady. And I was like, dude, I relate to this guy so hard. I need to meet him and hang out. I feel like him and I would be best friends. So for selfish purposes, what I need to happen now is I need Tayshia to start dating Chris Evans so we can go on a double date and make all of my dreams come true. Like, Tayshia, I love you and I hope the best for you, but you need to do this for me.
Okay, well, yeah, let's will it into existence. Chris Evans, if you're listening to this podcast, and sure, you know, there's a chance. Give Tayshia a call.
Yeah, just DM her, slide in, she'll answer.
I don't. Yeah, but you're right, it is weird to talk about new relationships for
weird
people that just left relationships, but I think it's natural.
Yeah, I mean, we're especially our lives, like, dude, our entire public lives is centered around our dating, because that's what we're known for. We went on a dating show, so, and I hope that they're doing all right, you know.
And by the way, I hated that for so long, especially when I was single, being known for, like, to only be known because I went on a dating show, so then everyone only focuses on your dating life, is like one of the most stressful things. Because, like, let's say you're like an athlete or something, then like all people care about is you playing the sport that you're an athlete in, and no one cares about like your personal life more or less. And dating is a very personal thing, so it's like the fact that people are so invested in both good and bad ways in that part of your life, like when you're single, it just is an incredibly stressful experience. At least in my experience, it was incredibly stressful. So I don't envy any of these people that just went through breakups. But did you see, so Katie did this weird like 12 days of messy thing, which I think was a tribute to Taylor Swift. And on the last day, she announced that she is dating another guy from her season that she sent home like week two. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's this guy, John, because wasn't there like, I don't know. I mean, I got nothing for you. The 12 days of exes or whatever. I mean, didn't she just break? She just broke up with Blake. Like, I don't know. I'm also like not the guy that gets into like the whole shade thing. Legitimately, I had like a hour and a half conversation with my other managers here at Audrey's about the whole Jake Gyllenhaal and Taylor Swift thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, why is she throwing shade toward Gyllenhaal? Like, apparently it was not a new song. It was a song that she wrote, but I saw something online about how she was throwing shade towards Gyllenhaal and they did it 10 years ago. And I don't know what the hell was going on. So anyway, the same thing. I got no time for that. Like, especially like guys that she dated on her season. Like, come on. They're just like, let's all move on here.
She like added new lyrics or something that specifically referred to Jake Gyllenhaal, I think is maybe what it was. I think, I don't know Katie. I don't know Blake. I don't know John. From what I've seen of all three of them, I like Blake. He seems like a nice guy. Not a big fan of Katie. She just seems, for lack of a better word, insufferable. And John seems really cool. I was creeping on John's Instagram, I think earlier this morning, and he's like a skydiver. He flies planes. He, you know, he does. We have a lot of shared interests. So John seems like a good guy. I just hope that Katie's got it figured out, because I'm sure Blake was hurt from the breakup. I mean, how could you not be? You were engaged to this person. I reached out to Blake and I was like, hey, man, like, I'm sorry you're going through this. I can't offer anything.
Nice,
but if there's anything I can do, let me know. And he was always really nice. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a time of grieving. I don't know exactly what he said. He was like, yeah, I'm sad, but thanks for reaching out. So I like Blake. Blake seems like a really nice guy.
Who do you think broke up with who?
I think...
And do you have any inside knowledge on this, seeing how you're talking directly to the source?
No, I've literally exchanged two messages with Blake. It's actually pretty funny. I congratulated him for getting engaged. I said, hey, man, congratulations. You seem like a really cool guy.
And then the next message, I'm sorry that you guys broke up.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, thanks so much. Like, I've, you know, people have compared us because, you know, we like being outside. And that was the end of the conversation. Yeah. And then like 3 months later, I texted or I messaged him again. I was like, hey, man, sorry about your breakup. So those are two messages in a row, one congratulating and one grieving with him.
That's awesome.
So I don't know anything about it, anything. I have got no inside scoop. I would say, though, that Katie is probably the one that broke up with Blake. Blake seems like the kind of guy, like, yeah, he like, you know, they live in very far off lands from each other. One's in California, one's in Canada. I love that I use a state and a country to compare places. That's not really how it should work, but I don't know what province Blake lives in. So that's obviously not a good thing. But Blake was like going to Africa all this time. I don't know, man. It just, I feel like Blake would have like tried to make it work. And it seems like Katie was the one that instigated the breakup. And now she's like posting about her new boyfriend like a couple weeks after the breakup. So, you know, for not having any information about anything when it comes to this kind of stuff, it seems like Katie's being a little tacky with everything.
I think a lot of times when people leave Bachelor, so maybe Paradise, this helps because you have more time to talk about it, but it just seems like long distance becomes such a great issue in a relationship, specifically when people leave Bachelor, which makes sense, of course, because the location of where you live is extremely important. And I'm not even talking just about Katie and Blake, because I have no idea if the distance was really the crux of the issue. But it's crazy to me because I remember being on the show thinking, you know, once we started getting into like the final six with Caitlin, like it was going to be like, we had conversations about like, would you live in Rhode Island? And she wanted to live in Nashville. And it was like, oh, you know, I could see myself being in Nashville for a while, but I've always wanted to go back. And like, it never got serious, obviously, but like those conversations were actively happening. And I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it happens multiple times when two people, like, they get engaged on the show and then they leave and they're like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to move. And the other person's like, well, I don't want to move. And you're like, you guys didn't think about that? Like, you didn't. I know it's so heavy and, you know, everything is so heightened and you're in the same location. So I guess you're not really thinking too far ahead, but damn, that's crazy. Like, I remember I had to stay in LA for Ash, which made sense. It was like, I got to make a decision. I'm going to stay in Los Angeles for a little while. And then she was like, great. And then I'll move to Rhode Island for you years down the line. And now here we are in Rhode Island.
Look at you now in Rhode Island. I think a big, I agree with everything you just said. I think another benefiting factor for something like Bachelor in Paradise is if you go on the Bachelor, Bachelorette, you come off the show in a relationship and then the show starts airing and you start getting all this attention and whatever, it's like kind of a lot to take on all at the same time while also fostering a new relationship. And so the perk of Bachelor in Paradise, which I think is seldom spoken about, is you've already kind of had that experience of like going on TV and like dealing with the aftermath of being on TV and like people, you know, talking about you on social media and like all that kind of stuff. So it kind of gives you like an added perspective going into it. So there's no, you know, like when I came off the show the first time, I was like going to bars and girls were like, oh my gosh, that's the guy from TV. And I'm like walking around, you know, strutting around thinking I'm like the coolest guy in the world. Like people are talking about me. Girls are like buying me drinks. And eventually like that gets old. So like I had a good experience of like going on the show, having my fun for a year or two. And now I'm very happily in a relationship with Kaylin. But if you were to leave the show in a relationship, you can't really like get to take in all of the weird fun that you can experience from going on TV for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a fair point. You know, getting attention from the opposite sex is well, and the same extremely sex tempting. Too.
As great as it was to get attention from girls, whenever a guy came up to me, it made me so much happier.
Yeah, what I meant was in terms of like the temptation of crossing that line into cheating. You know what I mean? Not to make the accusations that anybody who's breaking up is breaking up for that reason. But I can totally see as that would be, you know, you're out with like other guys that were on your season and like women are just flocking towards them. And you're like, oh, and same thing with women. I'm sure there are guys like I'm sure there are a lot of girls that leave the show once they get engaged and they're like, oh, you know, I could have had that guy.
I could have had that football player or something like that. No, I agree. And I guess just to be clear, I wasn't specifically talking about hooking up, but that obviously is a side effect of it. Even just like the attention you get from anyone. It's just like, you know, it's fun and it'd be challenging to do that while also fostering a new relationship for the first time. It's a lot of firsts to be dealing with. So it's like such uncharted territory, uncharted waters. Like you don't know what to expect. And yet here you are expected to navigate a relationship successfully. Like in a way it's like kind of bad, like not bad, but like being the last person to like be standing on the show is like it's a lot of work. So I don't know. I feel bad for everyone that breaks up, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, especially being in the spotlight. But moral of the story is Bachelor in Paradise seems to be the healthiest way to blossom a relationship coming from the Bachelor franchise. It seems to be the good one. Let's segue into a hot topic. Let's do one of these before we take a break and get into emails. There is something I wanted to talk about from a Daily Mail article that talks about a relationship coach that says that there are five mistakes that apparently can lower your sex appeal and the five things men and women can do that make them appear unsexy. I feel like I do this constantly. I feel my least sexiest, I think, right now that I've felt in a very long time. I'm not working out as much. I'm pale. I'm not eating as well as I should be because I'm working so much. And then when I'm not working, I'm with my pregnant wife who only wants to eat McDonald's. It's not a good time to be the nutritionist in Jared Haven's life. But that's okay. Hey, it's gonna almost a new year, my friend. So he talks about the first thing that he goes into, this relationship coach, that says one of the five mistakes that can lower your sex appeal is sleep deprivation. A lack of sleep was listed as the number one reason why your sex appeal might dip. Quote, not only does it dull our skin and decrease our energy, but it also has been proven to decrease the appearance of our general attractiveness, health, and emotion. Generally speaking, fatigue and sleep deprivation can make you appear less attractive. Totally. Like when I wake up after like a horrible night's rest, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm disgusting. I look like, what do I look like? I look like Frankenstein. I look like a troll. I look like a gremlin. That's what I look like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Every morning I wake up and I walk into the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I think today's the day I'm going to be really proud of the man that I'm looking at in the mirror. And it just hasn't happened in a long time. Kaylin, I was running around the bedroom naked the other day and Kaylin grabbed my phone and was taking pictures of me like running away. And I just felt really bad for her, honestly. I felt bad that she has to look at that whenever I am unclothed.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't want to look at it. I wouldn't want to look at myself. I'm hairy. I'm like, especially like the male body compared to a woman's body. Now, obviously, I'm a straight man, so I'm attracted to women, so I'm biased. But like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like we smell. We're disgusting. We're hairy. We're like gangly.
You ever see that Seinfeld episode?
Yeah, I know. Men are not supposed to walk around naked.
Yeah.
And especially like, well, I mean, not TMI, but like the you know, the penis itself is just like when it's just there. Like, I don't know why as a woman, why would you want to be? I don't know. I don't know how you can like it.
Hey, as a married man with a child on the way, how often do you manscape?
Oh, it's been a long time, my friend. I feel like posting that meme of Titanic on Twitter where it's like, it's been 84 years.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I did it last week for the first time in a long time because it was like getting out of control. It was like forced, you know?
Was getting to the point where like your pubic hair is longer than your dangle or?
Yeah, I was like, I gotta control. I gotta like man up and like really take care of myself because I'm letting myself go. So I did. I had a nice day to myself and, you know, showered and took care of everything and felt really good afterwards. So I feel like I need to start doing that more often.
It is. We're just gonna keep going with the TMI conversation here. After doing the manscaping down there, it just is nice to look down because it just looks it just looks a little bigger, you know.
Yeah.
There's less clutter. There's less less things to compare it in length to, and it just looks bigger. As just as simple as that. So I should probably go upstairs afterwards and do some manscaping after this, just to get a confidence boost. But
every guy can relate to what Dean just said. Number two, having a negative attitude can apparently lower your sex appeal. So Miss Ward is her name, the relationship coach. Said that being kind and approachable to others will boost your sex appeal, while negative attitude will lower. Mm. With this in mind, it is important to be positive and open-minded when dating to make a great first impression. Mean girls and mean guys, of course, they finish last, okay? While they often are portrayed as the intimidatingly attractive one in Hollywood or other big-budget movies, a prospective partner with a nasty disposition is likely to have lower sex appeal, she said. Yeah, that's an interesting one to me. I'm not going to lie. I find guys with a negative attitude, I feel like women are more attracted to them in the beginning. I'm not going to let go of that trope. I think it's true. I think girls like a bad boy.
I think I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think that if I were to think back to my single days, one of the traits that, in my opinion, made me more attractive to other people was my sunny disposition, if you will. And I made note of that too. I always say, I think like an altruistic mentality is one of the most attractive things anyone could always have, anyone could ever have. So I disagree. I think the nice guys should and will continue to finish first.
I mean, I like that. You know, well, here is the reason I was basing that off of was because whenever I'd go out with Nick when I was single, women would flock to Nick because, you know, Nick, he like stands. First of all, the way he stands, this guy, he stands with like his pelvic out. You know what I mean? It's just like he's just like this aura, this energy he's putting out, this vibe. But he's like very quiet, standoffish. And I think women find him mysteriously attractive. Now he's like a big teddy bear because he's with Natalie and he's just like he's just an emotional man. He's a big teddy bear. But then when you were saying how, oh, I disagree, and then I thought about it, I was like, you know what? You know why when Nick and I would go out, women would be more attracted to him?
Why?
Because he's more attractive, and that's okay.
You know, I was gonna say that,
in myself, but Nick, Nick's a stud.
I was not going to spare your feelings and say exactly what you said. Nick, I mean, let's be real. Nick is more attractive than both of us. He's probably one of the more attractive people I know, physically speaking. But you're right. He's got a little like somber attitude, kind of like like a little shy guy, standoffish mentality when he's like out at the bars and stuff.
See, I disagree. I think not with me, but Dean. When I think of peak Dean, and like I said, I'm a heterosexual, like I'm a straight man, but like I appreciate the beautifulness of a man who has clothes on, because like we talked about, like without clothes, I don't get it. But
right, okay.
I say peak Dean is better than peak Nick. Sorry, Nick. Nick, like, you're a stud. But peak Dean?
And you want to know why you think that? Is because I've got the sunny disposition and he's got the mean standoffish attitude.
Yep. So it all goes back to number two. You're absolutely right. Having a negative attitude would lower your sex appeal. All right, let's get through these last three pretty quickly before we take a break. Number three, playing mind games. Playing the game is often a strategy both men and women take when dating, but it's likely to backfire and it's not going to benefit for your sex appeal. Quote, treating them mean and keeping them keen doesn't do anything to raise your appeal. Just as playing games, going hot and cold, manipulating tactics, and sending mixed signals will also erode your appeal. I agree. Once you like start getting older and you're playing this game, it's so unattractive.
Reading these, this list makes me just so happy I'm in a relationship. Like being single, it just sounds exhausting to have to like think about all of this stuff all the time. Hey, by the way, where are you? Are you in like a hospital closet or something?
It kind of looks like one, actually. I'm actually in the office of our coffee shop and lounge.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Working all day and night, and I got the Lois here. I don't know if I can lift up my computer.
Are you? Oh, hey, Lois.
Can you see her?
Yeah. Oh, I see like a big white blur. I figure that's her. Are you drinking a cup of coffee right now?
I was, not anymore. I had an ice caramel.
Delish. All right. Well, I'm gonna get to the fourth one for us. So fourth is slouching. Few may realize your posture and how you hold yourself also impacts your sex appeal and can make you appear less attractive. Miss Ward says body language is everything, and something as small as slouched shoulders can lower your sex appeal. Instead, stand up straight. Ensure your chin is up and do not sit with your arms folded. So that's a big one too. I feel like especially in today's day and age with technology, everyone just like huddled in and on their phone constantly. And like sitting on their desk on their computer, they just like slouch all the time. I need to constantly remind myself to fix my posture. So
all the time. Anytime I see like guys who are like very, you know, like military guys who have jacked and like shoulders up, and I'm like, damn, I really like, I need to fix myself up. I need to put my posture up. I need to stick my chest out. Like I need to stand. I need to like have a, you know, have an aura about me. Be like, I'm Jared. But instead I just slouch and I'm like, oh hi.
That's like that interview tip too. You know, like people would always be like, before you go in an interview, go into the bathroom and like stand with your hands over your head and scream as loud as you can. And you're going to get like the serotonin boost you need to go in and crush the interview. I feel like that kind of is in the same vein as the non-slouching. Number five, the fifth and final, is stress and complaining. Miss Ward said that complaining or feeling stressed can give off negative energy and repel others around you. Regardless if you're a man or a woman, it's important to boost your sex appeal by having a positive attitude, controlling your stress levels, and keeping complaints to a minimum. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the second one, which is just having a negative attitude. But yeah, I mean, no one wants you to like put your stress onto them. Like, that's the worst.
Yeah, nobody likes a complainer.
Well, except for unless you have a pregnant wife, then she has a hall pass to complain as much as she wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, she definitely has a hall pass. I watch her go to bed and try to fall asleep with that belly, and I'm like, oh, this poor thing. And her hips are starting to bother her now. Just like pregnancy is crazy, man. You should see, like, not TMI, but we talked about it. Like, it's just, it's there. Her body is changing in ways I never thought possible.
What is the most, and you can feel free to just plead the fifth on this one. What is the most disgusting thing you've seen her do so far?
I have seen her throw up and pee at the same time.
Was she sitting on a toilet?
She was throwing up and like on her knees in the bathroom. And then like, you know, she let me know. She was like, oh, I just peed. And then I saw and I was like, yep. Yeah, no, that happened.
That
is happening. Cause it's crazy, man. Your body, like, and there's all these stories about pregnancy that nobody ever tells you. Like, that's just what happens. Your body kind of loses control a little bit. Like she literally can't control it. She'll sneeze. She'll be like, I just peed. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I can't control it. Like anytime I have like a sudden burst in my body, just pee. I'm like, all right, cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Kudos to every woman, because that sounds insane.
Not fun at all. But we're going to take a quick break so we can stop talking about Ashley peeing, and we're going to come back and answer your emails, which of course is Dean's favorite part. All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have two emails coming right at you. I don't think Mark is here. Easton, are you here? Do you want to read some emails, buddy? You out in the universe?
Hey, buddy, would you like to read some emails for us?
Yeah,
Easton,
come on
what
in.
Do you say? There he is. There's our
in.
Easton.
Yeah,
hey, there Easton. He is.
I love this. Nice. I love being
shaved.
Affirmed that way.
Who's a good boy?
Who's
me.
A good boy? Come on, Easton. Let's go.
I'm the good boy. All right, here's an email from, I hope this is Rika.
Rika.
Let's go with that.
Rikachu.
Rikachu, I choose you.
Yeah, I like that.
Long story short, I dated my ex for 3 years. We broke up because he had to move to a different country. 2 years later, I'm dating someone new. I love this guy and he makes me very happy. But a week ago, I received a text from my ex telling me he just recently moved back and would love to catch up next Sunday. At first, I was like, this is absolutely not happening. If the roles were reversed, there's no way I would be comfortable with my boyfriend meeting up with an ex. Then there's this other side where I think about myself and what I want, and I do want to meet up. I talked to my boyfriend about it, and he was so understanding and told me maybe I need some kind of closure and that he's secure in our relationship and that I can go. But now I've been texting my ex ever since. I'm starting to catch myself counting down the days, obsessing over what I'm going to wear. I'm nervous about what he'll say when he sees me. It's starting to feel wrong. Am I already emotionally cheating?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Well, it's not a good sign, Rika. I don't know if I like where this is going. I would say if you have these feelings of excitement and anticipation for meeting up with your ex, maybe you should, and you like your current boyfriend enough to want to stay with him, I would almost say cancel on the ex, because it sounds like this is starting down a very slippery slope, and that slippery slope is going to lead you into something bad. That's my take.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that you talked to your boyfriend about it, and he was really understanding. Good for him, because I don't know how understanding I would have been about it, and that maybe you needed some type of closure. Yeah, I don't know. You're way too excited, Rika. I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you're not emotionally cheating, but it's getting to that line. And if you guys meet up, I think it's only going to make the situation worse, because then your emotions are going to run high. Something could happen that you might regret, or you just suddenly want to get back together with your ex. I think, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to try to make a decision before meeting up with your ex, whether you're willing to risk the relationship you're currently in or not.
Also, before I want to get Easton's take, I just want to highlight one quick part of the email where she says, "At first, I was like, this is absolutely not happening. If the roles were reversed, there's no way I would be comfortable with my boyfriend meeting up with an ex." And I want to say, you know, psychologist 101, Dean Unglert over here, is the reason you feel that way is because you don't trust yourself to meet up with your ex. And so that's why you don't trust your boyfriend to meet up with one of his exes. So I think that you kind of already know how you feel. And it's just, I mean, hey, maybe the ex is the person that you're supposed to be with. But if you're getting this excited, it sounds like you're on the way out of the current relationship that you're in. But Easton, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I think that if you are not into your current boyfriend, but you see yourself wanting to get back with this ex, then you should end that relationship and then explore that. But if you're very happy in your current relationship, I would not meet up with this ex. I have a hot take, and I know the boyfriend is the one who proposed this, but I don't think anyone ever needs closure. Whenever I hear someone say I needed closure, I get so annoyed. I hate that idea. I don't think it's necessary. I think anytime someone says that, like, oh, we broke up, and then he's been texting me, I think we should meet up just for closure. No, that just means you want to spend time with this person again. I don't know. That it's not like you close an escrow on a house, so you need to finalize some papers. Like, that's not, I don't think that's a real thing. Like, the relationship's over. Maybe you don't know why it ended, but if that's the case, then just move on. I'm sorry. I hate whenever anyone says they need closure.
I love that you just said that, because I couldn't agree more. I think if you guys are chasing, if you're chasing closure, you're chasing something that doesn't exist. You're never going to get closure.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I'm going to sit firmly in the other camp. I think closure is a very real thing, and I've experienced closure in the past. So I think closure is real.
Well, explain to us then. So you had, I'm assuming you met up with an ex, like, still undecided whether you wanted to be together, and then you left meeting up with that ex, realizing I don't want to be with this person?
Precisely that. Yeah, exactly right. It's happened to me a couple times, actually. You know, dated someone, broke up, time wore on as it usually does, and then it brought us back together eventually. And it's one of those things where we've talked about it in the past, where on the podcast in the past, where you break up with someone and you can't help but romanticizing your relationship with them. So you only think about the good times you've had with them. You forget about all the bad times. And then you start to think to yourself, well, why do we break up in the first place if all I remember are things to be so positive? And then you text them or call them or meet up or do whatever. You hang out and you're like, wait, no, this is exactly why we broke up, because we're awful together. And so that's kind of like the closure that you need to get. You like remind yourself that the relationship was doomed from the start. So it's happened to me multiple times. I'm sure girls that I've dated have gotten closure from hanging out with me again at some point too. So I'm pro closure. I think closure is a very real thing.
I feel like that's got to be so rare though. The idea of two people hanging out and then being like, oh, never mind, this didn't work out. Cause what about the other person that you hung out with? Did they want to get back together with you? I feel like anytime you need closure, one person wants to be in the relationship and the other person doesn't, if that is the case.
Yeah, if I'm going to recall it 100% honestly, I would say the times I've gotten closure, it's been me saying I don't want to be in a relationship and them being upset by it. But again, it's revisionist history. It's me remembering my form of it. So I agree with you. I think, you know, one person might want to be in the relationship and then the other person isn't. And it's more of them just getting, you know, reminding themselves that they don't want to be in the relationship. In my case, that's how it seemed.
Okay.
That's an interesting one.
I get that. But that doesn't mean I have to abide by
it. Agree with it. Yeah.
You know,
F you, Dean.
I'm going to, by the end of 2021, I'm going to get you guys to buy into the idea of closure. That's my goal.
I'm going to spend all of 2022 just contacting every girl I've ever dated and be like, I think I need some closure here.
That's what all I could think about when Dean said, I'm going to get you to believe in closure. I was like, oh, Ashley's not going to like this.
Well, you guys don't need closure. You've already closed everything. Some people, especially me, since I suck at dating as much as I do, or at least as much as I did, because I don't think I do as much anymore, at least. I was constantly needing closure because I was never doing a good enough job of getting closure the first time around. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are a lot more mature, a lot more intelligent, a lot more direct than I'm capable of being. So you've never had the requirement to get closure from anyone.
I don't want to beleaguer this anymore, but I would like someone to contact me asking for closure. I think that'd be nice. Like, you know, I would like to be headhunted in a job at some point, and then I'd also like a girl to ask for closure. I would like that.
Well, It's a little challenging for you at this point in your life because you've been married for so long.
It's been like a decade since I've dated somebody else. So, they'd come out of the woodwork though. They still exist.
I'm surprised no one has. I'm sorry to interrupt your final email reading. I'm surprised no one has, considering your rise to success and fame.
Yeah.
You're working so closely to Ryan Seacrest. I could see like a scorned ex reaching out and being like, that's supposed to be my guy. I need to get some closure from him.
I think everyone that I dated and the relationship ended, they were more than happy to get out of that deal. And they wish me well. Yeah. All right, let's move on to Ellie. I have been in a committed relationship with my boyfriend for just over a year. I'm 26. He's 32. A few months ago, I opened up to my boyfriend about my dad leaving when I was a kid and how I'm still processing a lot of resentment, even though I haven't been in contact with my father since he left. This is a big deal for me because I never talk about my dad to anyone. A few days ago, my boyfriend told me that after our conversation, he researched my dad and ended up finding him. Long story short, my boyfriend ended up contacting my dad. I never asked for this, and to say I was upset with my boyfriend would be an understatement. I feel like he crossed so many lines and inserted himself into a situation he knows almost nothing about. My boyfriend keeps telling me he was just trying to help me reconnect with my dad, but I genuinely don't know how to move forward with my boyfriend. Am I overreacting? Should I give my boyfriend the benefit of the doubt and try to work through this? Help.
I'll tackle this one first again. I feel like I've been monopolizing these responses so far, so I'm just going to keep going with it anyways. And the reason I want to respond to it first is because I've actually experienced exactly what Ellie has just gone through as well. One of my former relationships was very adamant about meeting my dad. And she was like, we were like in my hometown. And she was like, we're not leaving this town until we meet up with your dad for breakfast. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. Like, I haven't seen him in years. I'm not going to enjoy it. Like, you're not going to enjoy it. He's probably not going to enjoy it. Like, there's no point in it. Fast forward a couple of days, we end up meeting with him on our way out of town, and it just went as miserably as I expected it to. And then afterwards, I like was resenting my partner for having encouraged the idea to meet up with my dad. So it was like it was miserable all around, just like I knew it was going to be. And then it kind of like festered, and the resentment continued and grew, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not a fan of it at all. Like, you know, I would never. I don't know. I just don't like it. What do you guys think?
I think people step over boundaries and don't even realize it, and they just try to help so badly, but they're actually hurting. I feel like sometimes the worst things come from the best intentions, and I feel like this is another case of that, where this boyfriend was like, no, I'm going to make this right. And it's like, well, it's not your place to make it right, and I hope you can respect and understand that. And some people, again, they have the right intentions, but that doesn't mean they're doing the right thing. And sometimes they make it about themselves without even realizing it. Like the person that you were with, Dean, in your hometown, even if they did it unintentionally and felt guilty about it afterwards, they really were making that about themselves because they were like, no, I'm going to make this better for you. And it's like, well, that's not really your call or your decision. It's my decision. It's my relationship with my parents. And I hope you can understand that. And trust me, I will let you know if I want you to help further with it. But I think that's an example of this where, Ellie, you have every right to be upset with your boyfriend. I hope that you guys can reconcile this because I'm sure he was, again, trying to help. So maybe this is a learning curve for him and for you, your relationship moving forward. I don't think you're overreacting, though.
Two words, Jared. Hard agree.
Yeah. All right. Look at that. On the same page.
What about you?
Yeah, we're in the hand-holding club here. This is, I guarantee the boyfriend had this image in his head, like it's going to be like Oprah when like Tyra Banks is on and she's like, I had this teacher that really affected me and I never got in. And then like, we've brought the teacher out, you know, like that kind of thing. No, I guarantee this woman, Ellie, knows how to contact her dad if she wants. It's not like he was like in hiding or something. Like, I guarantee she can find him. That wasn't the problem. The problem is being at a point where she's ready to have this person in her life again. And I think that has to come from her father or from her reaching out. The boyfriend really stepped over a line, and she's 100% in the right for being upset with him. But I also think she needs to be direct and be like, hey, I really didn't want this to happen. This was not okay for you to do, because if she keeps it to herself, then she's just going to resent him and it's going to be negative. But this dude was being clueless, and I don't think he did it maliciously, but also like, come on, bro. You know, you can't, this is not your place to be doing something like this.
Well, so then I guess that raises the question then is, do you think that it came from a good place? Like, did the boyfriend do it well-intentioned? Or like you said, was he trying to make it more about him than it was about trying to reconnect the two?
I think it's half and half. I think he was trying to be helpful. I think he was like, oh, this person is having, like, could you imagine not having your father in your life? How horrible that would be. I'm going to fix this. But then, like, I think he's like, I'm going to be the hero that reconnects this family. You know, it's going to be because of me, you know, and that's messed up.
I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. Like, I think that he can be doing it with the best intentions, but also simultaneously making it about himself.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just not a fun position to be in. But all right, well, that's great. Thanks, guys, for emailing. Ellie, Rikachu, thank you so much for emailing. Keep the emails flying. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Am I going to get scorned for saying this? Big thank you to Katie, Blake, Tayshia, and Zach for giving us something to talk about today. Easton, as always, thanks for jumping in and reading some emails and just, you know, doing all the sound engineering and all this kind of stuff. If you are a scorned ex of Easton's, and you are looking for some closure, just shoot us an email, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Perhaps we can discuss on air here.
That's
right. Anything else you guys want?
Gina Goss, Caitlin Garcia, who else? Caitlin McCormick, Janine Bray. Any of you guys out there listening, give me a call.
That's a lot of exes.
That was a lot of exes.
Yeah.
Dang, Easton, good for you, man. Yeah, if any of you ladies want to jump on here, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Or just text me directly and we can, you know, get this interview rolling on the podcast here.
And you can really be Oprah and be like, Easton doesn't know, but here is a lineup of your ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We can't wait to talk to you next week where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.